The latest on the Chrysler negotiations. From Marketplace, I'm David Brancaccio. Union employees at Fiat Chrysler are voting on a revised contract now on the fresh proposal from the company that averted a possible strike earlier in the week. A sticking point had been the way for newer workers who are lumped into a cheaper pay category. Bloomberg News is reporting that Fiat has now increased what it would pay workers who fit into this second tier, as it's called. Gary Chason is a professor of industrial relations at Clark University.
The idea of two-tiered wages is very controversial because it essentially means that the union is agreeing to dissimilar wages and lesser wages for those who haven't been hired yet in order to avoid having to make more stringent sacrifices. And it's very easy to get into two-tiered wage settlements, but it can be very difficult to get out of them.
Also, Chason says calling a strike would have had its costs for the company, for workers, and the union itself.
The United Automobile Workers is also very heavily involved in organizing new workers and growing. And every time it sees a strike, it sees a threat to its possible organizing successes. Organizing and bargaining are very closely intertwined because what you're essentially telling workers to do in organizing is to accept the union on a matter of faith. And workers lose faith if they see that the union tends to be strike-prone and creates job losses.
Union leadership votes on the proposal today with a rank-and-file vote to come. Now, Japan has a reputation for not using enough female talent in its workforce. Last year, a study by the World Economic Forum said the gender gap at Japanese companies is one of the worst in the world, and the government there has made fixing this a priority. Marketplace's chief economics contributor Chris Farrell has been considering lessons here for the United States. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, David.
You know, the business and economic press has long highlighted Japan's gender work gap, which is why it is surprising to learn that the labor force participation rate of women in Japan recently surpassed that of the United States. What happened?
Part of it is there are cultural changes and more women are going into the workforce. And Prime Minister Abe has made more women working a priority of his country. And they also really are putting resources into daycare. This is an incredible shift. And what I find so dispiriting about the numbers is less what it says about Japan and more about what's going on here in the U.S.
Well, right, because the other way to look at it is that women in the U.S. are participating in the labor force less.
Yes. The major factor, I think, is childcare. Childcare is expensive, and I think that is discouraging a lot of women from entering the workforce, and that is not good news for our economy.
You showed me statistics that the average cost of center-based infant care is greater than 23% of the typical income for single parents in every state.
That's right. Two-thirds of the states. The cost of full-time center-based childcare is greater than the average annual cost of tuition and fees at public four-year universities. Now, that's a stunning number. And that does give a sense of just why this is something that, in order to help families, in order to be more productive in the workplace, access to high-quality early childhood education and good childcare.
All right. Any other more specific proposals on the table about this?
It's a federal tax credit system for working families in order to make childcare more affordable. And I think that's probably the right way to go in making it easier for families to afford it. Because as you mentioned, 23% or plus for a single parent for state median income, that's a lot of money.
Marketplace's senior economics contributor Chris Farrell in St. Paul, thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Now, there is a fresh survey of 30,000 American workers about gender issues in the workplace. If you missed it on the air the other day, my conversation about this with Rebecca Rubenstein, the deputy editor-in-chief of The Wall Street Journal, lives on via Marketplace's Facebook page. Game one of the National League Division Series pits the New York Mets against the Los Angeles Dodgers tonight in L.A. This is the Mets' first trip back to the playoffs since 2006, and they have made it largely on the strength of a pitching staff that is young and, in relative terms, not paid all that much. Marketplace's Noel King has the story.
Tonight, the Mets will start pitcher Jacob deGrom. Clayton Kershaw starts for the Dodgers. Here's a stat. The Dodgers paid Kershaw around $31 million this year. The Mets paid Jacob deGrom around $500,000. Why? He's young, And Major League Baseball players don't reach free agency and more money until they've been in the league for 6 years. Victor Matheson teaches economics at College of the Holy Cross.
Which means that players aren't paid anywhere close to their value.
Smaller market teams rely on young, cheap talent. The Mets are in New York, not a small market. But, says Matheson,
the Mets have not been willing to invest as much in free agency and have instead tried their luck in their farm system, and it certainly has paid out for them this season.
But at some point, the Mets will have some big salary decisions, says Kenneth Shropshire, a professor at UPenn's Wharton School.
Will they actually go all out to keep this young staff and pay the dollars that the market will bear once they're eligible for greater dollars?
That doesn't have to be answered this season. I'm Noelle King for Marketplace.
And yesterday, VW's top executive in the U.S. told Congress that managers at his company did not know its cars were actively rigged to cheat emissions tests last year when indications arose there was some problem with emissions in its small diesel engines. VW is still working on a plan to fix the cars that overpollute. About 11 million of them around the world. From studios at Montclair State University in New Jersey today, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.